Please listen carefully.
It's like, you know, like the intro to D20.
Where he goes so fast.
He goes so fast. And then, like, Allie keeps attempting to do it, but Allie keeps forgetting some of the words.
What is he? What does he say? Hello?
Hello, and welcome all to Dimension 20. I'm your Dungeon Master, Brendan Mulligan. Dungeon
Master,
and
I'm your Game Master, Brendan Mulligan.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is my intrepid hero. Say hi, intrepid heroes. Hi, intrepid heroes.
Wow.
And then the rundown of on last week's episode.
Yes,
nerd alerts left and right.
Yeah, oh, well, fully.
I would love
sometimes to be anything else, but every so often I talk to someone who is not in the world, and I have to, like, oh, so, because I was hanging out with my brother, his friend, and our cousin, and I was going to explain something about, like, what I had been doing, and I was like, oh, but then I have to explain Dungeons and Dragons. And I was like, are they pop cultural enough aware to understand the shift that Dungeons and Dragons doesn't mean what it used to mean anymore?
Yeah.
And I don't think that they are, just like based on my brother's pop culture viewpoint. So it was one of those things where I was like, I don't think I can just be like, oh yeah, I was playing D&D with my friends, and not have to caveat and add 900 things to explain what I mean when I say that. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just like, oh, I don't just play it, I also watch it.
I watch
hundreds of thousands of hours of other people playing this game. I simply just said nothing and said I'm spending time with friends. What's up, sisters? Welcome back to another episode of Everyone and Their Sister, the book publishing drama podcast, maybe? I'm Christina.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Stephanie.
Oh, and do we have something for
you? When do we not?
When do we not? Well, honestly, a couple episodes, I could say we didn't have very much. Did we phone it in? Maybe. Who's to say? This week, we are talking about some shit. We're going to get the full proper rundown from Nat. And we're going to be introducing all of the history of what's going on to Steph for the first time. But I dug my juicy little claws into this as well. We found out about it the other day because I was very exhausted from work and wanted to be paying attention to anything else. And so we are going to be talking about the Frady Moon, Taylor Brooke.
No, it's Frady.
Freydis. Do you pronounce the S?
I will do the pronunciation.
Okay, great. So I'm going to go with Frady Moon. Because I know that the inspiration for all of this was taken from the Nordic language, mm-hmm. So I don't feel bad about mispronouncing it. Frady Moon, Taylor Barton, Taylor Brooke, Jupiter Wise, all of these people.
Hunter Llewellyn,
all of these so-called people of color who are all one white person, the same white person, who under one of these aliases, I can't remember which one, Nat will tell us, said they were a white person and were super racist, and then decided, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell everyone that I'm not a white person. And then their chickens came home to roost because of astrology. Nat, give us the breakdown.
Well, to say that I could give a full historical account, absolutely not. That's way too generous. I am going off of TikTok, Read with Cindy's or with Cindy's YouTube video, and this beautiful documentation done by, what's her name, L Porter Erotica. Excellent breakdown. So I'm using all of those three resources because I am on what we will call Frady's Moon's Instagram and their like personal website and all of that. So I'm using this all as reference, FYI. All of this is available online. We'll probably link it in the bio in case you want to see the actual breakdowns of everything, including Twitter thread and all of that. But let's get to the summary. Let me get to my thesis of what,
if you will,
to call back a joke that nobody's going to know unless they listen to that other episode. Let's give you the summary of what's happening here. So the other day, I was on TikTok and somebody was talking about some author Twitter drama. And I was like, once again, I am here for it because if I'm not involved, it's funny to me. It's great. I get to call somebody shitty, whatever. So I see that it's about this author called Frady's Moon. and them claiming to be a trans Latinx author of color with a, I think they're autistic as well. I believe that's part of it as well. They're on the spectrum. Claiming to be all these things as part of their identity, and that they had been accused of actually being a white author. And I was like, tell me what else is new. Like, this is not anything special. Tell me what's going on. But not just that, that they have multiple identities, not just like one or two. They have like 10 to 20 different identities where they have tried to not only escape their history, which we will talk about in a second, but also support themselves in other ways as Frady's Moon and also as another, like, it's an insane conspiracy or like just overcomplicating their own lives. But basically, Frady's Moon got accused by a couple other authors because the writing was very similar to a previous author named Taylor Barton. Now, Taylor Barton is the OG author here. They actually have published with Harlequin. So I do, I have read this one book that they published with us. I believe it was the ninth, ninth life or something. Ninth House, very different. And it was a queer book. And so they're definitely, they fall under queer. That is not a lie. And they are a white author. But they fell into a bit of drama because they were extremely racist against some authors, I believe, or just racist in general. I don't fully know the whole history. They essentially were doxxed. So, like, if you go on Goodreads and you look at The Ninth Life, you will see reviews on them. They're like, I can't support an author that is racist or has this kind of history behind them. And this is, like, from, like, a couple years ago, basically. Like, I want to say, like, 2021, probably. And they've definitely given them like one stars, whatever. So this is like, this isn't that long ago. Like, this happened quite recently. So just think about like how many identities this author has and how quickly that has happened over time. And so they obviously got canceled. Taylor Barton removed themselves off of Twitter, off Instagram, whatever. They kind of just kind of gave like a non-answer. There was like an apology that came out. And if you watch with Cindy's, YouTube video, I think it's the most recent one called This Author Was Faking Their Identity or something like that. I highly recommend you watch the full thing because it does like do a full breakdown of like what kind of apology Taylor Barton gave and whatever. But we're not going to rehash some of that history that you can find elsewhere, and other people have done it better. What we are going to talk about is the proof that came out that is absolutely insane that this person did not do enough work to cover their tracks and how they fully got outed. I mean, the first thing somebody said was, Steph loved this. Their astrology charts were pulled up and it was the same astrology chart as Taylor Barton. Even though this person claimed to be a Pisces, they're actually born in August. And I mean, they even the photos that they took of their birthday on their Instagram, they don't actually show their own face. This is the main reason why they can get away with it for so long, is they're not showing their face. They're writing under a clear pen name. Like, Frady's Moon is not somebody's real name, obviously. And pen names are, you know, common in the writing world, but you don't expect somebody to lie that they're not this other person. And so somebody had claimed that, oh, this is definitely Taylor Barton. And they were trying to like out them for it. And they're like, I'm not associated with this person, whatever. But they're like, oh, but your writing is similar. And pulled up some writing. Then another person, I believe it was Elle Porter, who might be, I don't know if they're a beta reader or an editor. I believe they might be an editor. They had been sent something and were previously friendly with Frady's Moon. Were sent something by Frady's Moon to review, like a new work in progress. And they're like, this sounds so familiar. Why do I feel like I've read this before? It's because they were sent this from somebody else that Frady's Moon had sent that to as a totally different person. I believe they were as, at that time, Jupiter Wise, which is their other personality alias. Or whatever alias. But they were white that time. They were white with that alias, but it was post-Taylor Barton. So they had sent this this manuscript over and it had only been slightly changed. And the biggest difference was that the name had been changed to a Hispanic name. Obviously, as a Latin, quote unquote, Latinx author, as they claimed, they had changed the race of this character. So this person was like, oh, I approached Frady's obviously online, approached and was like, oh, I found something really concerning. This seemed really familiar. And they sent the two screenshots of the two different manuscripts. They're like, oh, it's really similar to this other one sent to me by, I'm not going to tell you who sent it to me, but it's of this author, Jupiter Wise, who was known to be Taylor Barton. Like, somebody had made the connection at that point. And they're like, that's really odd. They're like, I'm not associated with this Jupiter Wise, this Taylor Barton. Like, I don't understand why this person keeps following me around. Like, the comments are insane. Like, this person is talking about themselves, first of all. And so they're like, I don't understand why this person, I can't get rid of them. Like, I'm like, I posted the story once on Tumblr years and years ago. Maybe they pulled it from that. Maybe they scrubbed it from that time and they've changed it up to be theirs or whatever and like submitted it before. Okay, so sure. Say you believe that. This editor then does the fucking legwork and is like, let me look at the metadata of both these documents, because they have both the original documents, both Word files that were sent to them. And obviously the earlier version with the white character from who was it sent by? Jupiter Wise. In like the little author thing, it says Taylor Barton or Taylor Brooke, either or, same person. And it says 2020, written in 2020. Well, this new version from this Hispanic, quote unquote, again, air quotes for all of this, Hispanic Latinx author, Frades Moon, also in the metadata says Taylor Barton. And it says a later year, obviously, because it's been rewritten at that point, but same author. And so this person's just like, okay, I have been lied to. So I'm going to put all this evidence together. I'm going to collect this other evidence. Meanwhile, Frades Moon is annoyed, quote unquote, annoyed, and is like, how do I sue people for claiming that I'm Taylor Barton? How do I sue Taylor Barton themselves? And I'm like, this person is insane to be putting these errors out there as a person that knows that there are these multiple people. In the meantime, I think Elle and all these other people are putting together all these clues. They're finding other personas out there. Like, there's Stacy something, there's the social media manager Cordy or whatever, who accidentally got registered as an LLC and then it got taken down. Insane actions happening of this person clearly setting up multiple accounts all the time. Then there was another one under, I think it was the Stacy one, where on Twitter they were saying that they're publishing this new story or whatever, and it was actually them, and they actually admitted to somebody that it was them, and they were like, but don't tell anyone. And so like all these things started adding up, and obviously all these people are putting it together. They're like, wait, this is just a white author, white queer author posing and once again co-opting people of color and claiming to be them, and now self-publishing under the name. And this is somebody that used to be traditionally published until they got into trouble and all of that.
They have agents, so that's like the basic, too, which is crazy.
Yeah, they had agents. They obviously now they've been dropped by a lot of these agents. And of course, like, I was curious in terms of like where this person is at now, whether they've said anything, because I'm like, this has all come out in like the past, I want to say, what, week, 2 weeks? Week. I think the earlier claims were quite a few weeks ago, but they were so scant and thin at that point that they didn't have anything until this person, L, took it more seriously and was like, wait a second, these two manuscripts, these three, actually there's two different manuscripts, were too similar. Like, that's one too many coincidences. And this person's like, I don't know why this person's like attaching themselves to my work. Yeah, because it's you were too fucking lazy to come up with something new, and so you resubmitted the same fucking manuscript. Like, we know. And so like going through this and seeing like some of the like the little clues that they have in this document, this Google Doc, insane. Some of them are just like, okay, let me pull up an example of one. Also, it just feels like, you know, and like, not to bring up D&D again, which we did in the intro, but you know when you're a dungeon master and you're talking to your own NPC as another NPC? This feels like that sometimes. It feels like Kate Corain talking to herself as the quote-unquote friend.
Oh God, yeah.
That made some very, very suspicious actions against BIPOC authors. So this feels very much like that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this person would do that. But you're talking about your fucking self. It's an insane thing when you see it from the outset. An insane thing. But it's... they've literally taken like screenshots of like this person's initial book under like the quote unquote white author, Never Say Die. Exact same paragraph. They've lifted full line, and it seems like this person has stolen something at first sight. And obviously, until you go in to the actual metadata itself where it shows.
I'm like, are they smart? Because they dropped a couple balls.
It's so funny.
They did. I mean, they did. It's one of those things.
Listen, I have to say this, though. Did they make some major mistakes? 1,000%. There's a pretty... They went for a while not being caught.
Yeah.
There is some genuine investigative work that had to happen to catch them here. So I think there are people that were significantly worse at this. Kate Corrine is a really great example. Yeah. And I think one of the things that's so incredibly frustrating about this, like, if you just look at this as a scam and you take all the problematic elements around, it's like, you clearly have the ability to do this better. Like, you did this strongly enough that, like, you dropped these balls. That's crazy. But then you add in this other layer of, like, at its core, your writing is extremely popular.
But, also...
You had everything going for you, and you're doing imagine how much better their books would be if they took their time more on the fucking writing.
As Frady's Moon, they also wrote a book. They helped co-author a book on immigration, by the way, which is a fucking insane... Not only were they exoticizing Latin people, they're also... taking away a job from somebody. Like, that is somebody else could have actually legitimately wrote something realistic in that sense on immigration, and it's taking away from somebody could have contributed something actually meaningful. The other thing is, like, I said Stacy, but what I meant was actually there is another persona, Saint Harlow, which is the one that was releasing that book on cannibalism or whatever, I don't know, whatever, but Saint Harlow is also the account that they used on Twitter to take down bullies. Oh yeah, there's a bully cardigan or whatever. I don't know if they're actually
playing both sides.
They're playing both sides. So they're arguing with, like, so cardigan or whatever, this other person who's another actual real person would criticize a lot of authors online. And so this person is like, he's like, you shouldn't do this, blah blah blah, or like would argue against them, and is like trying to be protective against other authors. And meanwhile, like, there's an element of, like, you see someone else's bad behavior and you recognize it because you recognize it in yourself. And so in order to protect yourself from being recognized for that bad behavior, you are doing these other things, but not in any way where it recognizes you. But then also you are then getting somebody's trust that way. Like, you are having this argument with Cardigan or whoever. And meanwhile, as Frady's Moon, you're pretending you're not that person, but this person is talking about Saint Harlow and you're like, oh, why were you having that argument? Why did you get blocked by St. Harlow? Meanwhile, you are that person. And there's something, it's not just disingenuous. It's something so, there's something about the trust. Yeah, there's something about, like, taking advantage of that trust and using, even if that person is in the wrong. You know what I mean? There's something about using that trust that is so insidious. And it's just like, it's the same thing with Kate Corrine. Like, she's included in this group of authors. They trusted her as a friend. Meanwhile, on the side, she's fucking review bombing them. And so, like, there was something about this particular element that I was like, okay, there's something wrong with this person. Like, I mean, obviously there's always something wrong with them, but, like, there was something deeply disturbing about that part where it's like you can pretend to, like, be empathetic toward this person that's supposed to be your friend, but you really on the side.
I think this is a really interesting, I mean, if you want to, like, be really, like, looking at this fully, I think this is so interesting when you consider this in Kate Corrine and the ability to, like, I'm not even going to say feign empathy, but maybe even genuinely have it, but in such specific situations, being able to likely rationalize yourself out of empathy. And I think the real thing here is, you know, while, this author, Frady Moon, I will not say Frady's for some reason, identifies as non-binary or trans. I'm not sure exactly because it sounds like there were maybe multiple identifications at some point. Mm-hmm. Definitely they were femme presenting at one point. And I think that that is important in this context because there is a level of white woman victimhood in both this and Kate Corrine that I think is incredibly important. And I think it comes from this idea of, like, again, I can't stress enough, Kay Coran and this Taylor Barton initially were successful. People were enjoying their books. They're going to be published traditionally. And we know that Taylor Barton, one of the reasons that they got dinged and the reasons that their publishing contract started to go away was because of the allegations of racism, was because of their specific racist bullying and honing in on certain communities and attacking people. So very much showing that lack of empathy
towards
people.
And the thing is, normally publishers do not care. Like, you can get away with it. Yeah. You can still have that.
So you had to, I think that's the sign, like, you had to be real bad for this to happen. Like, that is a... like indictment of what that those actions would have been like, knowing that, like, I couldn't find a ton from back then of, like, what they said and what they did, but I can immediately believe it because all of these actions took place that wouldn't have otherwise. And I think what's so interesting is, like, when you look at communities of authors of people of color without any traditional support systems from publishing, people of color and queer authors have created their own communities with each other that are, like, incredibly supportive, that are all about lifting each other up, that are all about, for free, reading and editing each other's books. Call it beta reading all you want. Are you going to publish a book and make money off of it? That's an editor that's not a beta reader. Like, you're doing all of this stuff. You're having these other people do free work for you. And in these tighter communities, they're doing it because they know you are not getting the same support from a traditional publisher. They know that you don't have that in other places. So people come together to offer it for each other in response to this thing. But publishing, especially traditional publishing, is big and isolating, and even the white women aren't getting what they think that they're going to get. Unless you are the highest level author, you are not being handheld, you are not being introduced to a community of authors that are going to support you. So you are in this isolated stage where, regardless of the fact that you are successful, you are being praised for what you're doing, you have a leg up over everyone, you still cannot get over the idea, I think, that you are a victim because you see a community that you wish you had. You see a community that you wish you could be a part of. And then, like, Kay Coran, you managed to be in that community. You're in there, but you're so unused to the feeling of othered. You're so convinced that you still deserve more and should have more and should be more. And then you turn it, that victimhood, into this, into invading these spaces in the most insidious of ways, into the most extreme version, which I think is this person claiming to be Latinx and just not just claiming it, but going all the way in, saying and doing things that now, knowing that it came from the mouth of a white person, are openly offensive to have heard someone say. Like, I think you can only do that when you're coming from that perspective of white victimhood, of, I believe, but also, I should have a community.
Not just, white victim, but like, yeah, like, this person for sure has a victim complex. Like, they're like, it's almost like, I mean, like, here's the thing. White queer people, they do this all the time. They co-opt language from communities of color, especially queer communities of color. They co-opt that language and they're like, oh yeah, I fully relate to this. And then they're like, okay, well, I think I identify. And like, what's to stop them to say, like, I identify as this, I do this. Again, it's that whole thing of like, yeah, I want to be part of this community, but with the advantages of still being white. Like, I can be white during the day when nobody sees me at night as my little Frady's Moon situation, but as soon as that works to my advantage, I'm going to use it to my advantage. And it ignores the fact that, like, passing, for example, is something that people of color have had to do for years just to survive sometimes. And, like, it's... There's aspects of it that's like, okay, I can tell this person was, like, after, like, the racism claims or whatever, was like, I'm going to do a little bit of research or whatever into, like, different communities. And I think that's literally what happened here. And it was like, oh, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this to my advantage now. Like, I don't know fully what the thought process is here, but it's almost, I mean, I think Cindy said it's like, how do you take being an ally so far that you become that culture? And it's just like this, like, weird thing of like, oh, if I support them enough, I believe I'm owed to be part of that community.
See, I think that is actually that's the one thing that, like, I think that's where you're talking to, like, a Rachel Dolezal situation.
Oh yeah, Dolezal, yeah.
That's where I think there's a mindset of, I believe I am this thing.
Yes.
I don't think, and again, this is all conjecture. Like, I have no idea. Everything I learned about this, I learned in the last 4 days. But my read of what happened, I don't think this person had that viewpoint whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I think a white person went after people, bullied people, was racist, did all of that, and realized when it came back on them that that community of people that they bullied were standing up for each other.
Yeah.
They knew each other. They support each other. Probably nothing bad would have happened to Taylor Barton if a bunch of people hadn't gotten together to say, I believe this person. I believe you are like this. I believe this person when they say you were racist and that you bullied them, mm-hmm. and that you're incredibly harsh towards people of color. And because I believe them, I will stand up for them. And I think to be on the receiving end of that community with the, there's a Twitter thread from Taylor Barton under one of their aliases after all this is happening, where there's this, like, they just keep doubling down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at one point they apologize, but they say in this Twitter thread, like, I only apologize because my team told me to. I actually don't think anyone, they didn't say these words, but essentially, yeah. They're like, I don't think anyone deserved an apology. And the only reason I'm even here now taking all this shit is because I just, like, don't know what else to do. I have nothing else to do but, like, beg people to still read my books or whatever the hell they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is the mindset of someone that went, if you can't beat them, use it against them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they saw, well, you have that. So, I think what feels so insidious about all of this to me especially is I feel like the mindset to go from being this problematic racist white person to then saying, well, I'm going to claim to be this Latinx author and get all these things that these people of color are getting is the idea that you fundamentally do not believe in the concept of, like, the community, the culture, that there is, that you ever did anything racist at all. Like, I don't think there's any sense of allyship even falsely there.
Oh, no.
Because I think you kind of have to, I think you have to fundamentally believe that it's all a lie and it's all bullshit. And you can just pretend to be Latin and like wherever they're pretending to be from. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not sure. And you'll get all the same things that everyone else gets. Well, I think there's an element there of like, I'm playing a joke on you and you're falling mm-hmm. for it. And I can't imagine the sense of disgusting satisfaction that person must have had when someone reached out to them to say, do you want to write a book
on
the history of like Latin diaspora, immigration Latin diaspora?
I totally believe it. I also am okay, so not to like fully take us away from that, but I was looking at what they've changed since all this came out, because specifically yes. I wanted to know, how is their response going to be different from the response when they were Taylor Barton? Not that they aren't Taylor Barton, they are Taylor Barton. Let's be clear here, this person is Taylor Barton. But I was like, what's the difference now? And they've definitely learned from the last time. They're not doubling down on certain things. They've completely, I think they've just like removed their Twitter. They've completely ignored like any sort of commentary on it and are just going as normal. Like, so like even on their, yeah, basically pretending it didn't happen, which is clever because people do forget things. People be forgetting things all the time. And so this person, in their bio, they used to have, like, Latinx, trans, all this other stuff in there. It now just says, Freydis is a best-selling, award-winning author with... By the way, these awards were taken away as a consequence of what's happened.
Jesus.
With an affinity for quirky, speculative storytelling, a lover of culture. Just putting that out there.
Already beginning a narrative.
Mysticism, history, and language. They constantly find themselves, lost in a book, trying their hand at a new recipe or planning a trip to far. So they've gotten very casual there. On their Instagram, they're just posting their new books. Nothing, no commentary there, no apology, nothing. They've still got over 3,000 followers. They still have their stories are still being posted. Did you like this? Then read this. 100% this person is just gonna let it die down, which they've learned from the last time, and they're gonna get by.
Yeah. What's interesting about all of this is that what really they've probably learned the most is let's just try ignoring it. And if that doesn't work, I'll just make a new person. Because clearly they can. Like, mm-hmm. to have made this many so internet crazy. People is actually wild. The amount of work to have, again, even though they did it poorly and ultimately still made a mistake, they still did it far better than some other people that would have. Because to have the foresight to be like, okay, so that I don't get dinged for anything that fucked up that happens on my social media, I'm going to say I have a social media manager. So why would I have a social media manager? Okay, that has to be a person that I can prove exists. So I'm going to create the name Cordelia Llewellyn or whatever it was. That's going to be Cordy. But if I'm going to refer to Cordy, I need something to show that Cordy is real. So what I'll do is I'll register a business in the name of Cordy. And the business will have a history. And that will make it look like Cordy has a history. And like, there is an insane amount of foresight in there. Again, to still drop the ball on that is pretty wild. But it is that kind of thing of like, maybe no one would have ever found out about this if you had spent that time writing something new instead of trying to rebrand as a mafia. You know what this reminds me of? Like, I will genuinely wonder, did you spend so much time on covering yourself up that you didn't have time to write?
Well, when you said operating for years without getting caught, it reminds me of a serial killer. They are a serial killer coming up with multiple identities to kill their victims. But it's like also, it's if they didn't say anything, didn't make these, had the one author account they'd barely used, why did they feel the need to do all this drama? It makes no sense. Well, again, why do we think all this drama's coming up constantly?
Well, I mean, it's like what we've been saying. Like, there's a clear, like, line, direct line to, like, victimhood, believing that they can take advantage of that, and yeah, making their career from that. Like, literally, this person not only is pretending to be an author that is often marginalized, a type of author that's often marginalized and, like, finds it harder, but somehow took advantage of that. But they're also pretending to be, what's-her-face, saint, whatever, fighting justice, being the social justice warrior that they are on Twitter, but also being aggressive in that way. So they can be this person that takes the backseat, that is, like, getting these advantages, and is also, like, a kind, very, like, thoughtful author with, like, whatever. And they then they can one also more take kill. Their aggression out. Yeah, and then they can also take their aggression out via the other personality. So they're not just, like, they're, like, there's a clear line of, like, I can be, like, there's all these, like, different personas that I feel like they've kind of cleverly put into these different versions of them. It's so interesting, but it's also like,
why
yeah, like,
it's exhausting. I'm tired
of being myself
it. And again, and I'm, yeah, here's another question as to why your books are popular enough. Like, that's what's killing me.
The thing
me.
Is, they were already it a queer like author. They could have been fine. And I'm looking at, so they've definitely removed their comments, by the way. All the comments are gone. I'm looking at one that they posted about, what is it called? It's Exodus 23:3.
Have I seen
about
that?
About two Mexican. It's a beautiful cover, obviously.
Oh, no,
brown.
No.
about two Mexican or new, is it New Mexico? Two New Mexican guys, angel and human. They make a reference to Sierra Simone, by the way. Sierra Simone a la Angels Before Man, body worship, whatever. They sound good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the queerness of it sounds good. Like, it sounds like a good queer romance.
I mean, I'll tell you this right now. They all sound like fan fiction. Let me throw that out there.
Okay. Yeah, I believe it.
It doesn't mean they don't sound good, but having read some of the descriptions of those books, I was like, I know where I've seen these tags before.
Like, okay, so here's a tagline for this one. Religious eroticism and queer emancipation meet in a claustrophobic monster romance about divinity, sexuality, and freedom. You know I fucking love that. You know I love a monster.
But you know the thing hiding behind there is, I think there's also, again, this is where I think there's an additional layer of insidiousness of it. Mm-hmm. The little things like the angel slavery book, and like is attempting to publish that multiple times and attempting mm-hmm. to bring that out multiple times. And I wonder, like, is there also that thought process of like writing a book, even if it is like a romance erotica book, where the core tenement of it is this angel being sold off in slavery, can I get away with that more if it's coming from a person of color than I can as a white person? Because again, like, it's very much, I think, that like that terminally online white perspective, mm-hmm. that I, because I have access to spaces with people of color, and I can see the way they talk to each other, yes. the way they support each other, and the community that they get from each other, because I can see that and I have access to it, I believe that I can get in there, yeah. and I believe that they have something that I don't have, and I believe that it's worth it.
Key of being
do.
Terminally online.
I believe that they are better.
This
like
online stuff. This is where the problem starts for a lot.
That's
of
where
these
it is.
Authors. Like, why are we seeing it with so many authors?
I think it's like someone told them. To be successful, you need a social media presence, and that's yeah. not true.
It's not true.
It's true.
It's complicated.
Authors, I believe.
Yeah, it's like I yeah. can't even say it's
I mean,
not true.
But
it's,
here's the thing: we're looking at these chats between some of these authors in like the evidence or whatever between Elle and Frades, these are private chats in like Discord and shit. Like it's not like on Twitter, know, and so, yeah. I mean, some of it's on Twitter, obviously, but like. In Discord and stuff, these are private conversations that are happening in groups and whatever. You can be online without being online.
Rude?
You know what I mean? To the public. As a white person, because they're so removed from being a person of color, they don't see the disadvantages at all. You know what I mean? They see it as, exactly. I saw that they had the advantage in the situation that I was in. I'm going to take that too because they clearly have it better than me. They don't see the negative effects. And if they do, they're obviously being able to manipulate it. Like, they see, like, oh, I've
no,
seen
they
how
care.
They got... This is why it's so popular in academics, as fucking professors that pretend to be whatever. Mm. They pretend to be black, they pretend to be Latin, they pretend to be whatever they want, basically. And it's so common in academic things, because obviously a lot of these things are meant to be in place to support people that normally do not get the support that they need in an academic setting. And they're like, well, why wouldn't I see the shortcut? Because amongst being a white amongst whites isn't going to get me anywhere. And it's like, oh, I'm glad you fucking recognize that. But also, the reason this exists is because there's already a disadvantage.
You have to fundamentally, again, I think terminally online parts into this, but also just whiteness in general. You do not have to be terminally online to believe this fundamentally.
Yeah.
But like, you have to be so deeply ignorant or so fundamentally refuse to believe that there are hardships that are unique to being a person of color. Mm-hmm. You have to genuinely believe it's not harder for you. We have the exact same opportunities. We have the exact same level set. So why is it fair that all of these other yeah. authors are pumping you up just because you're a black author, but I'm here and I'm a white author and I don't know how to give my name to it. And like, it sucks because the internet's a hard place for nuance. I think there's some really interesting conversations that are had. This is like, vaguely related but also deeply not mm-hmm. but like I saw a thread the other day that was from a trans man who is also an author who writes MM romance, and when they see requests come up for can I get an MM romance that is not written by a woman, they fundamentally are like, I sit down but I don't know if I should. Like, it's this space of, like, this feels like a gray area, and I don't know what to do, mm-hmm. and this is really complicated for me to understand. And it's one of those things where, like, I feel like that's a really interesting conversation mm-hmm. and a really interesting thing to consider. And to consider that that is going on at the same time that this white author is pretending to be,
yeah.
like, Mexican or pretending to be Latin so that they can get their shit published, when, like, the people that are actually in these communities with complicated intersectional yes. identities can't even find it in themselves to promote their books in a yeah. space where, like, it would be totally valid to, even though you can understand the reasons why that might not be what they're looking for. Like, there's so many complex things happening, and your access to those complicated questions is to go, well, if I just tell people
yeah.
that.
But it's also like, it's so insulting thinking that passing exists to help you survive versus this inverse passing exists so you can socially gain something, because this isn't about survival for Taylor Barton, Hunter Gray, Hunter, whatever, Stacey, Haley, Tristan, I'm looking at the thing, Frida's Jupiter rising, ascending, whatever. This person does not need this to survive. This is about them gaining
clearly
something over somebody else.
But, and like the end goal, I was like, what's your end goal? Well, it doesn't make sense.
Gaining something.
You can't promote
yourself. They're gaining an advantage that they wouldn't
I think there is a secondary goal there of like, you're, because you're totally right. What if this blows up and what if this becomes massive and now you're being asked, it's literally yellow face style.
Yeah.
You're being asked to go to events to speak on being a Latin diaspora author and you're going to show up fully a white person, very clearly. And it's like, are there white people that are also Latin? Yes. You can't even pretend. Look at you. Like, it's clearly there's nothing about you that is genuinely Latin. Even the name, I thought the thing that was funniest, even the name Freydi or Freydis is pulled from New Norse mythology references to create it. So like, even the name that you created is not even remotely Latin. And you're going to go in those spaces. So I do think that the other underlying goal there is that kind of like red pill thought process of like, I'm going to prove to them that it actually is easier to be an author of color than it is to be a white author. And I'm going to prove that by getting one over on everyone and doing this. And I have to wonder in that point of view, like, do you ever think that like when I give my reveal, it's going to be so good. I'm going to pull one over on them. Just because the attitude from this author in some of their Twitter threads really gave me that kind of vibe of like that. I mean, they said it themselves. One of the tweets I thought was really funny was like, I'm a mean person. I'm two raccoons fighting in a trash can ready to attack or something like that. And that like that energy is what gives me, if I ever get caught, all I'm going to do is prove that it's easier to be an author of color. So come at me.
Yep, and fuck you, Taylor Barton. How about that?
I hope you never...
We hate you. We hope you fail, but we know you probably won't. You'll probably be fine after this.
Yeah. You'll make another...
Yep. Eventually, they'll release Asimov. Eventually, that book will come out. Oh. After them trying to release it under 7 different names, they will eventually release this book. I'll say this too. We talked about one of the underlying questions being like, why is this happening so much right now? Like, why does this keep happening? And I think there's two. I think on the point of view of like, why do all these white people keep pretending to not be white? The real answer is, I think with access to the internet, it's easier and easier to co-opt the language of other groups of people. And in spaces where you don't give away your face for safety, it's even easier to pretend. So it's like, systemically, why this keep happening right now in this time probably makes a lot of sense. And you could distill it down to, again, like, white victimhood and community and isolation, all that works.
Is this also speaking to the fact that even the fucking broken white people out there know that being white ain't a good thing? Even if it gives you an advantage, there's something fundamentally wrong with being white. There's something wrong with the system. There's something wrong with white supremacy. So they're like, oh, there's something wrong here, but I'm going to make it worse by doing this other fucking thing. Give me some culture.
You feel bad for colonialism. You feel bad for colonialism, but you don't want to admit that your people were at fault and you carry that blood in
you.
So what if I simply pretend I'm something else? Let me be
anything but white.
One also option I'm thinking of, if I want to be crazy, if I want to be
going wild,
conspiracy theorist, if I want to be book wilds, I think everything's going to work out for Kate Corain in the end. And I think everything's going to work out for Taylor Barton in the end.
Yeah.
Because as we see in Yellowface, and as we've seen in real life, all that needs to happen is the right white people need to find them. And if those white people are racist, and if those white people hate them because they're queer or they're trans, who gives a shit? Because they're going to buy their books and they're going to make their money and they're going to go on Fox News. And so maybe, you know what? There were Taylor Barton alerts as an anonymous account.
Yeah.
Another anonymous Twitter account revealed some of this information. Someone out there is so incredibly obsessed with Taylor Barton that every single time a new author comes up, they look up the Instagram photos and they go, does that Christmas tree look similar to another Christmas tree I saw? Mm-hmm. They, every single time someone shares their astrology, they go, whatever
that anonymous account
in August actually is.
Is that Taylor Barton?
Or did Taylor Barton want to be cut?
So did Taylor Barton out themselves? Show
the world how easy it was to pretend to be Latin.
Oh.
Did Taylor Barton show the world that you don't have to know anything or be anything? They were invited to write a book on the Latin diaspora. And did Taylor Barton want everyone to know that they managed this?
If Taylor Barton alerts is Taylor Barton.
It's the only one that makes sense.
It's, and this is why they had all this. They were like, I know the little flimsy evidence I can use because I fucking know.
It's like Taylor Barton Alerts is either Kate Corain or it's Taylor Barton.
Listen, I love my cat, okay? Ceviche's great. She's a black cat. She looks like a lot of other black cats. You're going to tell me that some random person, by chance, was like, look at this black cat. I think this black cat used to be the black cat that belonged to Taylor Barton. What? You immediately? You jumped to that? The Christmas tree is the flimsiest piece of evidence I've ever seen in my life. And yet it's so compelling. Who in the world
co-star chart?
Would look at that?
That's some shit I do.
I was like,
you know what I mean? If I was...
I was like, well, who's looking up Taylor Barton's fucking co-star? Who cares? And also, why did you choose Taylor Barton? What was it like? What were you like, oh, this reminds me of Taylor Barton's fucking co-star? What? What? Crazy. If Taylor Barton is Taylor Barton, I would fucking
someone
lose
has to look into
shit.
It.
Listen, I'm going to say two things. One, deepest respect in the world to Elle Porter. One, you have a great Twitter handle.
Twitter handle.
Porter Erotica is great. Twitter handle. Titties. I'm looking at their Twitter now. They're a monster fucker. The tits are on my mind.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that. The handle is great. Two, the research, impeccable.
Yes.
The Google Doc, stunning. To get receipts like this, to get documentation in this way, that's one thing I don't want to be lost in this conversation. Mm-hmm. L. Porter, M., whatever name you go by, wow.
And also recognizing that you can change a Word document and taking screenshots of it in the original form in the email. Excellent fucking backup work. Excellent.
The proof of not just like, let me show you the email that I received. Like, here's a video of me actually opening it and going it so you know that I didn't edit it. This is the energy we need to bring to everything. Every time it seems like someone has something spicy going on, I want an L. Porter on it. I want someone who is like, here you go. Here's everything. And I can prove to you. So I don't even have to sit there and go, oh, well, maybe it's this. Maybe it's X. Don't worry. El Porter thought about that. Okay. And El Porter wants to make sure that you know that they didn't make any edits or any changes. Now, with that said, and my deepest respect to El Porter, I think they did a great job. So I wanted to know that what I'm saying, what I'm about to say next, is like 90 to 95% a joke. Wouldn't it be hilarious if Taylor Burton was also El Porter?
Oh my god, Christina.
You cracked the case.
What if Eastcast is also what if we're not actually three people. We're all Taylor. I'm Taylor, I'm Anthony Stacey Haley. You're Saint Hoax. We're calling him Saint Hoax now.
And then Steph is Frady Jupiter Rising.
Yes. We're all Taylor Barton. And if we're all Taylor Barton, are we white?
Is this where you learn your white, Nat?
Is this how I start passing?
You're going to have to throw away every spice in your cabinet.
Oh my god, I cannot!
Wow. No more rice for you.
Chili oil.
If I become white, will it also fix my stomach problems?
Absolutely not.
I think, like, historically, white people have the worst stomach problems, right?
Yeah, that's probably true. I also want to mention, before we finish up, I thought it was a Discord that these screenshots are from. It's actually from a Slack, a private Slack called Monster Mansion or Monstrous Mansion. Yep. Is this for all monster fuckers? And can I be at it?
Well, Monster authors.
Monster authors.
Honestly, all you have to do is write a monster fucking book. And I'm
so
sure
curious how these Slacks get grouped together. I guess writing groups will make one.
Writing groups, yeah.
Although I will say, if those are all from Slack, that's an incredibly Discord-looking Slack.
Night mode.
It looks like Slack to me. Yeah, it's night mode.
Who's the admin of that Slack?
It literally has a Slack.
Who could go through the DMs?
Yeah, is the admin? There's like, okay, so they have their haunted grounds, covers the ballroom, the dungeon,
and
garden.
That's the twist. Guys, that's the twist. The admin
is also Taylor Barton.
Probably.
Everyone listening to this podcast right now,
they're Taylor Barton. Oh my god, I can't believe Taylor Barton's also Spartacus. Like, I'm Taylor Barton. We're taking the wrong thing away
from this. Listen, don't do it. Awful, horrible person.
Yeah, but also everyone is Taylor Burton.
Is that what the thing? There at any time there could be a bit of Taylor Burton in you.
Do you think it would bother Taylor Burton if we all pretended to be Taylor Burton with different accounts?
They tried to sue us.
Or like Taylor no, A Burton, Taylor B Burton, Taylor C Burton.
No, but then it would make it easier for them to be anyone but Taylor Burton. So I don't think so. I think they'd hate it.
You think they'd so like it? So we
should do it. Then okay. I think because it would make it harder.
Yeah.
Oh no! Yes, I see what you're saying. They would like it because they'd could
be like, "I told you it wasn't me."
Be like, "This person's Taylor Burton. I'm not Taylor Burton."
Maybe so they would love it. Maybe yes, this right. would be a this great podcast lesson.
Is now called Taylor Burton.
Taylor Burton's podcast. I think this would be a great lesson in internet literacy for everyone else, not to trust a single fucking person if we just all pretended to be Taylor Burton.
Okay, here's also why it's a great lesson in internet history, because in the document that has the rundown of some of the like suspicious things, there's also a list of times. Like an attempt to show like all the times that Taylor Burton as Frady was like, here's how I'm Latin, and they said things that like heavily implied or openly stated that they were a Latinx person. I think it's very interesting because I actually think even though clearly they've co-opted language and clearly they're able to convince people because of looking at all that stuff, I don't think it would have been that hard to maybe think that something was fishy about that person, because some of their stuff, the wording rings a little awkward. And the one that threw me off the most, and the one that I was like, if I didn't think this was a white person before, now I know it is. They were talking about, they made a Twitter post about being a Latinx author and wanting to write fantasy that wasn't based in like Mexican mythology.
Yeah, they're like, why can't I just write a fantasy?
Exactly. Why does it have to be based on that? And it's ironic knowing that they're a white person because you know it's because you don't have a cultural connection to this. Probably you even think poorly on it. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. If we really want to read into who you are. But I thought the most telling phrase in that tweet was there are like they say like, oh, there are Latinx diaspora authors. You know, let me write a normal fantasy. The white writers have been getting to do it for years. And it was the use of the word normal immediately that pinged me that you believe white mythology and American mythos is inherently normal and all of these other things aren't. And while there are probably also diaspora people of color who might similarly say the same thing, the wording of that is so telling of the likelihood that you are a white person that is not connected to any other kind of culture.
And this is history. Like, this is separate from the fact that, like, for example, like Asian authors where they're like, I just want to write a contemporary Asian novel without having to make reference to like whatever historical event. This is very different from that. To like, that's different. That's like, I just want to write as an Asian American, for example. Yeah, totally different experience. But it's, the normal fantasy thing, definitely an issue. And also, I believe Latinx, that term isn't even used by Latin authors that are queer anymore.
I would actually think that that is a mix. I think there are many people that do use it. I think and to be fair, I could be wrong here in terms of like the overall conversation has moved on. Mm-hmm. But my understanding of this conversation is that like it's complicated. And like if you are not in America at all, if you're not in an English-speaking area, you would simply say Latin. Like, there is a word that already exists for it. But I do think there are also many authors who use Latinx who say, like, but I'm not speaking Spanish when I say Latinx. I'm speaking English. And so the term that I would use is Latinx because I'm playing off of Latina, Latino. And so I think this might be a complicated one where, like, admittedly, there probably are Latin authors that are using Latinx. So this is not, like, a flag that, oh no, they're absolutely not Latin. But I do think that it's like a complicated and like interesting identity flag. And like some of the reasons people have to have these identities is because white people are out here doing this shit.
Yeah. White people, can you stop?
They can't.
Kate Corain, Taylor Burton, Kate Corain especially, that book cover was beautiful. Mm-hmm. That book probably would have been real popular. Let's be real. Yeah. That book, the TikTok girlies would have been eating that shit up when they could pop that little book cover out and that gorgeous purple cover. Mm-hmm. Kate Corain, had you done nothing, at bare minimum, you would have probably made enough money to at least really release another book.
You can't even blame that on anxiety. Less. Like, that was just...
She said it was anxiety. I thought it was like...
She said it was her autism. Mental health,
alcoholism, anxiety.
They always blame autism, and I'm like, why are you giving autistic people a bad name this way? That's fucking rude.
You're really making it so, like, this is why conversations about, like, self-diagnosed autism and stuff like that are difficult to have.
Yeah.
It's not because of self-diagnosed autistic people, and it's not even because of people who might not be medically diagnosed as autistic, but who self-diagnose themselves are. It's this open, like, but I can use autism as a way to say that it is, regardless of whether or not I think I actually am or not.
Racism. But also, autism does not cause racism.
White people can't stop from getting in their own way.
Yeah.
And again, Taylor Barton, you could have just literally could have done nothing. You could have just released your book. You were clearly could have gotten an agent. People supported you. People liked your stuff.
Could have. You could.
Did get an agent? Got a real agent.
You could have shit talked in the Slack with your cronies and kept it there. And who would have known? Just the other authors.
This is because whiteness is pervasive, and whiteness also hurts white people in ways that they refuse, in ways that we refuse to admit.
Yes.
And the kind of mental degradation on your brain that whiteness causes for you to do all of this is a very real thing. And at the end of the day, Taylor Barton is still going to walk away and blame people of color for this when it is themselves and their own whiteness and white supremacy that has caused everything that led them to believe that they should do this and every evil thought that had them to continue to do it.
I'm going
to
write a book. Serial killer that's an author. Does shit like that. Isn't that a book? They write murder.
Is that a movie? Is that what the premise of that Johnny Depp movie is? Oh. The Window or whatever?
Oh, Secret Window?
Secret Window? He's an author that like thinks someone is trying to kill him, but actually he's a murderer. And those are his
books?
It's been a million years, and I'm not going to rewatch it. But
I have to. Watch
it's just you said an author who's a killer.
I just remember I have to watch Baby Reindeer, based on the true story.
You must.
I must.
You must.
I've been seeing the TikToks of the actual lady that was a stalker. She's very active on. She's very active on TikTok. She's like, "What about my perspective?" And I was like,
"Yeah, I don't need it." I mean,
not the takeaway from
this. Oh no. No, sorry. Give it. Let me ingest this content. Let me live for it. I was, when I tell you, the only thing keep me surviving the day we found out all about this was going through the receipts because of the meticulous and fantastic work done.
We love attention to detail.
Who is probably not Taylor Barton.
Who, okay, to close it out.
Allegedly.
What do you think the next big controversy in the book world will be?
I'm sure there's going to be another blackfishing incident. There must be. There's got to be somebody out there.
I think the conversation around who gets to write queer romances is gonna come up again.
I mean, that's all. It's always like a soft issue. You know what I mean?
It's always happening, but I feel like because of that TV show with Matt Bomer and Jonathan Bailey, I think that's gonna move some conversation along. I think the fact that this drama is done by like an self-identified like queer and trans person is going to inherently have more people in the queer and trans community just causing drama amongst themselves. Not to just like a bunch of white people are going to see this and try to have a different conversation because white queer people are a problem.
You know, this isn't really like an author drama thing, but I suspect this will be some sort of drama. Billy Porter is writing the movie biopic, I guess, for James Baldwin, and there's already some controversy around it because Billy Porter is, as much as I used to love the man, he is a Zionist. So people are making a lot of comments about it, be like, James Baldwin would never want you to do his biography. And also James Baldwin, when they did, I believe they were writing about Malcolm X, they were like, I can't do this because you can never write about a person without, like, when you're not that person. Like, you do not know. And you're probably doing them an injustice in some fashion. It's bound to happen because you're making some assumptions when you're writing about them. And so I was like, oh, that's so interesting. And I was like, wow, he would be fundamentally against Billy Porter writing about him / doing this movie about him. But also, Billy Porter is a Zionist. And that is probably going to cause some sort of shit. There's already like people boycotting it, even though that movie isn't out yet. Or / nobody really knows anything about it. But anyway, I was thinking about that, and I was like, wow.
I mean, it comes down to the same
thing over and over.
You know what? The underlying conversation and the underlying drama around all of this is the concept of who has the right to tell what story. And it's one of those things where is there never ever really an easy answer? No. But in each individual situation, you can't look at something and go, you shouldn't have done this. And that's where we are at.
Oh, potential thing, seeing from what's happening right now, will there be a ban on Palestinian books completely?
A lot of them were pulled from Palestinian books.
Some were pulled from awards and stuff like that, but people are already pulling the name Palestinian because Palestine apparently is not a country. So, there be controversy around that? Abso-fucking-lutely.
I was about to actually say, are they going to no longer call them Palestinian books because the UN refused to, because of the US veto, did not recognize them as a full country to have a seat? And does that start having those conversations about, like, Palestinian Book Awards and the term Palestinian authors? And this is where, marketing is the bane of everyone's existence. Marketing as a concept is dying, and we should get off of the ship of marketing because, let's be honest, also, all of these authors that are trying, not authors, but sorry, publishers that are trying to make money, regardless of their own personal feelings, will probably start pulling the word Palestinian from authors that they do publish because they're going to get shadow banned on social media, their prime marketing tool.
Yes. And, like, also thinking about, like, what kind of publishers are putting these books out. Fucking sorry to say it for anybody that works for HarperCollins, Harlequin, reads their books, whatever. They're owned by the same company that owns Fox News. Sorry to say it, but fundamentally bad. Evil. Evil corp right there. Boom. They will remove Palestinian from everything. Anyway, that is definitely going to be controversy. That's my opinion.
My prediction, less politic. I mean, I feel like a big author is going to, something's going to explode. I don't know who, I don't know what. Probably involving these issues that we've just discussed, but it's going to be, I feel it percolating. It's going to come up. They're going to say something fucking ridiculous.
Somebody's going to say something. Yeah.
Because they can't help themselves.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out another one of J.K. Rowling's pen names that she's had kicking around out there. And it's going to turn out that she's pretending to be a trans author.
Curse on her.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. That'll be the next one.
She would, but in like a way that makes trans being comical.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or it'll be like attempt to being present. Like, she'll write a story with like a clearly evil trans person, but she won't be able to publish it under her own name.
She's already done the evil trans person.
But that one was openly her. That one was like, this is me and this is my other pen name. You know how everybody thinks that she's, a bunch of people think that she's the one that actually wrote Argyle?
Yeah.
I think we're going to find out.
Well, it didn't do very well, so.
I haven't heard anything.
It was the only reason I know about it was Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
The only reason I know about it is because people thought it was Taylor Swift, and then some other people were like, actually, I think it might be J.K. Rowling.
And we'll never know.
And quite frankly, don't care, didn't read it.
J.K. Rowling's kids are like our age. I'm like, where are they?
If one of them is queer/trans,
I fucking hope they are.
Fucking lose it.
Maybe they've literally left the house and they're like, bye.
Got, like, gonna... what, three kids? Statistically,
wow.
One of them's got to be queer.
Can you imagine that actually all of this trans, oh my god, what's this word? Turf, there we go. All of this turf shit is actually just because they're upset that she's upset that her trans kid won't call her.
Well, we all know actually that she's all turfy because she actually should have been trans. She wanted to be a man. She's already admitted this in writing, where she's like, I wanted to be a man, but I realized I couldn't do that. And I was like, what the fuck? Are you just admitting you're trans and your transphobia stems from this?
The call is coming from inside the house, baby.
Yes.
But with that, we are wrapping up time on this podcast episode. I don't know what order we released these two episodes in. But just in case,
soul searching.
Yeah, either you've listened to us also talk about
the romance genre.
The romance genre and its ending and the drama around the way that romance books should end, or you haven't listened to that yet because it's not out yet, in which case you'll get to hear it from us soon. Maybe the next big drama will once again be another rehashing about if romance books should end, and will be the reason that the people are having the conversation. Maybe that episode will take off and it will go viral and will become so popular that we can quit our jobs and we can all be we can be the unemployed podcast again. And that's a dream that I have for us.
Yes.
And then we also get a sponsorship from KU, even though we criticize them all the time.
You don't get sponsorships from KU. You get sponsorships from Audible.
Yeah, that's what
I mean.
Oh,
yeah, you get it from Audible.
Amazon. I know. No, I won't say that.
I know your
That's
secrets.
Everything from us. If you have thoughts on the stuff we talked about today, if you have thoughts on Taylor Barton, if you know without a shadow of a doubt that Taylor Barton... Alerts, oh my god, yeah, if you're Taylor Barton, which we now know everyone is Taylor Barton, you actually are legally obligated to go to our most recent Instagram post on at EatsCast and leave a comment there.
So and would you like to be interviewed?
Oh!
I couldn't do it. I'd be like,
if, you'd like, if you're Taylor that. Barton and you'd like to, if you're Taylor Barton, Hunter, whoever, Hunter Llewellyn.
But they would love to get their story out. I don't want to.
Jupiter Rising, Ascending. Listen, will they get their story out or will they be roasted so fucking hard?
I don't know what the right answer is there, but just because we do an interview doesn't mean we have to release it. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to take one for the team and do it.
It's no just what, for us.
It's it can just be for us. Yeah, if you have any thoughts, you can leave a comment about it. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll be here with the next book. I think this might be what we are now. As long as the drama keeps happening, we'll be here to talk about it, or maybe we'll talk about the new Fallout show. Either way, we're EatsCast. Bye.
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 Wallflower and Jazz Bar. The song Please Listen Carefully.
Oh, can I tell you disappointing news? And put this as the ending to the episode. Post the song. Challengers doesn't have a threesome in it, so it's not worth watching, I don't think.
I only saw that it was Fade to Black.
The Zendaya movie? I think they fully just don't even actually have a threesome.
Then what's
I could live with
point?
Fade to Black. Yeah, I think it starts and then she's like, no. And then they don't have it.
I'm seeing
and
it on Thursday.
That leads me to believe that either it's a classic love triangle or it's one of those like she ends up with neither of them.
It's erotic this is thriller.
Zendaya joint. So it's going to be better than that. But I just want to inform the world I so that we know so we're not disappointed when it happens. They don't all fuck.